head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
4 points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings this.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
Hate
me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app. Watching us on YouTube and on Twitch. For the kids, I am Joe Fisher. Across the faux marble table is Rashawn Taylor.
Gang.
And across the glass, it is Will Orner.
Best looking man on the Fan.
Holy S.
Man. Definitely not the best looking man.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen you, man. Looking good, bud.
Trying to slim up.
I will say I'm not the best looking man on the Fan.
Not anymore.
Today. No. I shaved my beard.
Joe looks like Charlie Brown.
And I can't do this anymore. I can't go clean shaven.
Well, I was trying to tell you, man. You were saying, "Oh, I don't want to do that, man." Just go get your beard lined up, man. You don't even have to get a haircut at the barbershop anymore to go if you have a beard. Like, you can go in for just a beard lineup and shampoo and shave and all that type of stuff, man.
I don't have the proper beard qualifications. I don't think my beard is that good. It's just I can grow a somewhat okay beard, but I don't think it qualifies for being lined up.
Why'd you decide to shave it?
It was getting too long. I was getting
It definitely qualifies to be lined up.
You could trim.
I was getting a bunch of crap at Christmas because my dad makes clam chowder every year for Christmas, a quality clam chowder, and it was ending up in my beard, and I was catching crap from the girlfriend and my nieces and nephews and my son. And, you know, when you start catching food in the beard, that's
time to trim it and line it.
Yeah, no, I mean, like,
you went really extreme, Joe.
No, I hear you.
Be honest.
No, trust me, I got to start fresh. You know, I got to take it back I got to ship it to the foundation. All right, but I've done this before. I don't know what it is, and I just caught myself a couple times in the mirror yesterday. We were me and the girlfriend. We were at the Scotch Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice little dinner, and then we went over to the Scotch Lodge for a nightcap, and then. Where we were, like, at the bar, behind her was, like, a mirror. And so when I was looking at her, I could catch myself every once in a while. And I was just like, no, I don't like this. No, this is not acceptable. And the girlfriend, she even said, yeah, you can probably, like, leave a mustache next time. And I was like, golden. I'm in the clear. Now I can go forward with a mustache.
So you're going to be just stash guy, then?
Until it grows. And the beard grows in, and then when it gets to a point where I got to strip it back, then I will shave it and just keep the mustache.
Yeah,
so
I always
going kinda, forward, I will always have some sort of facial hair.
I always kind of felt like if you have a mustache, you're kind of trolling. Like, you don't really like the mustache. Like, you're doing it because it kind of looks – it's like the mullet. Like, it looks kind of goofy, but, you know, we're gonna let it slide because it's you, but –
I like the soul patch. The soul patch cracks me up.
Ew.
There's an old video of Rop, back when Rop had the soul patch on YouTube.
Awesome.
It cracks me up every time I see it.
That's awesome.
Rop with the soul patch, and then Swag has maybe the most fluorescent, like, Hawaiian t-shirt you've ever seen.
Not surprised about that.
Hilarious.
Probably with braided sandals.
Yeah, I think.
I guarantee Swag has multiple Hawaiian themed anythings in his closet.
It's Swag's comes across as a big Tommy Bahama guy.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And then he's rocking the Achilles ones. You think that's his summer look?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Santos out, everything.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
The soldier of Troy twos.
No, yes. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I remember those. I remember when girls, I'm so glad ladies are over wearing those shoes.
Oh, because, well, they would wear some of those. They would also do, and I guess they're still kind of big. What are they, the Birkenstocks or like the?
Yeah, but Birks are different than what I'm talking about. What yeah. I'm talking about.
It's going to kind of a strap up the leg.
Yeah,
low key.
Yeah. Or what's the
there's a rough tan line there.
The Velcro sandals.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Where's, you take them in the water.
Yeah, yeah. Those are yep. big. Those are big in the 90s.
Yeah, probably right. water. I can see Swag for sure wearing water socks.
I was going to say yeah. water yeah. socks. For yes. sure. Yep.
He has a couple of pairs of those for, you know, for leisure, for casual.
What was the most 90s facial hair move? I would have to say it's the goatee. Like the one or like the around the
connected.
Yes, connected the connected goatee.
I got a rough goatee photo.
It's, oh, boy.
It's really? Like, oh, it's COVID times. So like no one could see me. So I grew up my hair, too. And it's the hair looks patchy. The goatee looks rough. And I let like my beard grow really long. And then I shaved the goatee into it. So it's a really long goatee.
Shout out to the barbers during COVID for being the first ones to kind of break the whole 6 feet barrier, because people were out there struggling, man. Like it was pretty bad.
Oh, I have a picture of myself somewhere around May. I think I went all the way, cause I was already growing it out at that point. And then we hit, you know, March, and I was like, well, I'm screwed. I'm going to have to, you know, rock this a little bit longer. I just grew the hair out, grew out the facial hair. It got super long. And then I went full buzz, full shave, everything.
That was the way to go.
I went from as homely and disgusting as possible to tight.
Mm.
Tighten it up.
Yeah, I remember that too. I struggled for a little while, you know, just letting the, my hair was a little, you know, a little longer than both of you fellas, so it was getting incredibly long at that point. I was like, yeah, I can't do this. I couldn't wait to chop my hair off. So
on the 90s subreddit, they did a poll at one point. They said that the most 90s facial hair choice was the goatee.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm trying to think of, you know, something else. I mean, I think the mustache was, you know, kind of fading out with the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. The next most voted one was the Flavor Saver / Soul Patch. I have never heard it.
You never heard it called the Flavor Saver?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, right here. Yeah, let me get that.
Who had the best soul? Who's had like the best soul patch ever?
Best soul patch?
Yeah.
Didn't the Limp Bizkit guy have a gross one?
That was solid Fred Durst, soul patch. Yeah. And again, good for the times.
Anthony Kiedis, yeah. You know, at a point had Anthony a nice Kiedis. Little soul from Red Hot Chili Peppers at one point had a little soul patch.
What about Flea? Like what about the bottom what do they call that where it's just like the chin hair? Like you just have hair at the bottom of the chin. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I don't know what they call it.
Yeah,
though.
I just call it chin hair.
Yeah,
I don't really know if there's a name for that one. I'm sure it is.
Howie Mandel had a soul patch.
Oh, yeah.
That was a solid soul patch.
Springsteen. Billy Bob Thornton had one.
Oh, Billy Bob's is iconic. Because in the 90s, Billy Bob Thornton was dating Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Like, that was his work. Like,
that one blows my mind.
Yeah.
Because, like, knowledge of pop culture starts with her and Brad Pitt like being married together.
Yeah.
So like Brad Pitt dating Jennifer Aniston and Billy Bob Thornton and Angelina Jolie having each other's blood in like a necklace thing.
Yeah. I remember that.
Freaks me out every single time.
Wait, what?
Yeah. They
loved each other. They were like one of those couples that were like all over each other, like in a lot of PDA all the time. Anytime they were...
Well,
I
do remember that video from, I don't know what, like, award show or what it was that Billy Bob and Angelina Jolie show up to, and they're on something. My guess is they're on ecstasy or something like that, and they're just all over each other, and Billy Bob's like, yeah, we did it in the limo on the way here. And she is just like looking.
And everybody and else like, is just oh, looking yeah. like, how the hell did this dude get this girl?
Well, I know. You
how does that work?
In Bad Santa, he's got the moves in Bad Santa with that one bartender.
Yeah. You could tell Billy Bob Thornton.
You know, that
was
real, right?
I would say so. But you could tell he's got a little riz, man. Billy Bob Thornton. I think he'd be okay. And he got Halle.
It's like that Jeff Goldblum riz.
There's a ruse on Jeff Goldblum?
Dude, there was an interview. I was seeing recently that he was doing with some red carpet girl, and he was putting the moves on her, and you could see she was getting a little flummoxed. Like,
yeah, that's probably a little weird. Is it old? Or is it
no,
a new...
it's recent.
Oh my gosh, man. You can't do stuff like that anymore,
what?
Fellas.
You'll get caught.
Like, seriously, like, come on. Man.
She was reciprocating, though. It was like a tennis match. It was back and forth.
Oh, okay. Well,
they had good banter.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just for the cameras. It's not.
He hit her
awkward.
With the, she's like, you look fantastic. He's like, oh, coming from you, that means a lot.
Yeah, because let's be honest. Howie Mandel isn't
you
a good
dog.
Looking dude. You know, let's just be honest with each other. Like, you know, I'm not one to hate on my guys. You know, do your thing, Kings. But Howie Mandel isn't the most attractive guy in the world.
Well,
I could be wrong. Somebody probably likes it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's also, as I'm learning, a factor of money that helps.
I've heard that can be a big factor.
As someone who doesn't have a lot of that, I'm learning.
It reminds me of that one meme that's been going around that... where it's like the two different cartoons, and one of them's like a good-looking guy, and he's like, looking good, Susan. She's like, oh, thanks. You're so sweet. And then the next clip is like a big, overweight, ugly-looking dude, and he's like, looking good, Susan. She's on the phone. Hello, human resources?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's usually how it goes. So key here, fellas, is be good-looking. That's the first thing. Line your beard. You know, it'll help.
And if you are good-looking, have money.
Yeah, I mean, you don't, I think, here's the cold part. I think when you have, if you are good looking, money is important, but
you can
not
get by.
As important as,
you can
know,
get by,
as not
trust
having
me.
It. I think I'm going to go ahead and say everybody in this room has a pretty good looking face, so I'm pretty sure they've gotten lots of dates without
Again,
a lot of money.
Not me.
This when you grew up
better
in
than I used to.
This is not a good face. This no facial hair.
This one right here,
work.
Young Joe, when you're growing up, yes, that's awesome. You, Joey, cutest little face in the world, huh? You know, but when he shaves his beard, when he's 30-something, yeah, it's going to look weird.
Dude, Joey already has like a little bit of a little mustache on him. I can see it
Joey's
at some
got
angles.
Work at school. I already know, man. Joey's got so many little girls that are like, hi, they call him Joseph because he's mature.
Yeah, I will make damn sure that does not happen. No
yeah.
girlfriends
yeah,
until...
Yeah, we're concentrating on the league, man.
Until after college.
And like I said, as soon as Joe gets drafted, I'm going to be Joey gets drafted. I'm going to be right there next to
You're
him.
You're
like,
the uncle.
We did it. We did it, Joey.
We accomplished it.
Arm
yes.
around him, yes. All the hard
I always
work we
believed
put
in you.
Yes.
When everybody doubted you.
Yes, it was me. It was me.
I was
ear.
There. Oh, gosh. All right. Enough facial hair talk. I just... I need it back, though. I need my facial hair back. I mean, give it a couple more days,
well,
and then we'll start
lucky
to creep
for
back
you're
in.
Good looking, and you can go without the facial hair for a little bit, bro.
Well, thank you.
Pause.
I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Let's get into some football, shall we? It's that time of year, man. I mean, it's been that time of year for the last 3 months, but it's really getting into crunch time here now. We've got playoff implications all around the league. We have games being played in the NFL. That are clinching games, that are almost clinching games. We had some duds of some games this week leading up to this Saturday with some bangers to end Saturday night. We have some games with playoff implications today. We have bowl games. We have Pop-Tarts being sacrificed, which has turned into one of the best bowl game traditions of all time.
Because can't use the other ones, so got to make some new ones, I guess.
Well, yeah, but I think that at first the Pop-Tart Bowl was somewhat of a joke, and then that giant Pop-Tart gets sacrificed into the giant toaster, and then you get an actual edible Pop-Tart that comes out of it, a giant edible Pop-Tart. It's great.
Oh, I'm on board with anything Pop-Tarts, so...
Now this, you know, we can go into the break with this before we get into some NFL stuff. Favorite Pop-Tart flavor. I want you to think about it.
No need to think.
Oh.
No need to think. It's pretty easy.
Unfrosted cherry.
Boom. No. are we answering now?
No, I want you to think about it.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of good flavors out there. So before you jump on one, I want you to truly think about it. Also leave that up for the Vancouver Ford text line too. Favorite Pop-Tart flavor that is out there. Really, I mean, there are some good ones. There's some OGs. There's some classic. There's some new ones that they've came out with. But we will get to NFL football. And this team, they're going to do it, aren't they? They're going to actually pull it off. We get to that next year. Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe, brought to you by Grillwork Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Best Pop-Tart flavor. We've got someone in on the YouTube chat. Best Pop-Tart flavor was grape, but they discontinued it. There was a grape flavored.
I don't remember that, but I love grape jelly, so
I want some of that purple delicious stuff.
Mm, that is drink. Homie, that's drink. Yeah.
We got some purple stuff. Honestly, I kind of I don't think I've ventured too much out in some of the newer flavors in the Pop-Tart world. I would say that I'm a big fan of the brown sugar cinnamon. That's a nostalgic one for me. But the cookies and cream. That's goated. I'm sorry. That's a top Yuck. Five.
Yuck.
What cookies and cream is disgusting. Put your money where your mouth is. What the hell's yours?
Cinnamon sugar sounds like you spent a lot of time with your like grandparents over there. Like,
brown sugar and cinnamon.
Oh,
that's a
classic.
Solid one.
That's a classic.
That's an OG flavor right there.
Frosted strawberry is the best Pop-Tart flavor. I mean,
that's boring.
It's supposed to be delicious.
That is an OG flavor, though.
Yeah, and there's something weird about eating cookies and cream at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, quite frankly, there's a lot of weird things about eating all of these at 8 in the morning.
None of them are breakfast foods. Like, Pop-Tarts are some of the sweetest. Now that I'm stupid diabetic and stuff, I have to read, like, the back of, you know, everything I buy.
Hey, Pop-Tarts are good to hit your macros, though, bro.
Yeah,
right?
They are? I mean, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
If that's, you know, if I have low blood sugar, that's a Pop-Tarts are an amazing
idea. I think you need to have the unfrosted ones. That's what it is.
Blech. I'll just go ahead and eat regular peanut butter and jelly or something.
If you want to get those extra cows in the morning?
Nah, we're
bro.
Good. Yeah, nah, we're good.
I'm looking at some of the other flavors. I mean, blueberry's pretty solid. The wild berry. With the purple and blue
wild
icing.
Wild berries, okay.
S'mores is good stuff.
Which one have I been seeing floating around the GO and Fred Meyer's, the grocery outlet, the Eggo flavored? There's an Eggo flavored Pop-Tart? Yeah. I haven't tried it, but I'm right out on that. Ugh. There's also
I
like
love Eggos, though, but come on, man.
The one that has been enticing that I want to try is the Apple Jacks flavored one. I love
Apple.
Why
do you want to taste something that doesn't taste like apples?
Well, I mean, Apple Jacks are great.
That was the commercial. Why are you eating something that doesn't taste like apples? Why are they called Apple Jacks and doesn't taste like apples? Like, you remember those commercials?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Of course not.
I'd be like, shut the F up because they're delicious.
Yeah.
That's why. I'm looking at the list. I mean, we could go one by one by each of these. The frosted chocolate chip, where it's just like basically an unfrosted.
Don't want anything chocolate in the morning except for maybe chocolate milk.
No?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a big chocolate guy in the morning. Yeah, I have no fear. I will put chocolate syrup on my pancake.
That's not bad.
Like it sweet, you know?
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm not a syrup guy.
I know that Joey, my son, his favorite flavor, he loves the frosted cherry. That is his favorite by far.
Gross, Joey.
I hate cherry flavored things. It always takes me back to cherry cough syrup.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's just any cherry flavored thing. I make that connection.
It's pretty
just
disgusting.
Out on it.
I don't know that I had that.
What, cherry cough syrup?
Yeah,
you're lucky enough to be young enough to get grape and to get like tropical flavors.
They're bubble gum.
Yeah. Oh yeah, come on now. There were good flavors. The other one is
now that I think about it, I think my parents probably just gave that to us to make us suffer and get a good laugh.
They're like, ha ha ha.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, you're sick. You got to take the cherry cough syrup.
Watch this. Watch his face. Watch his face.
Seriously.
I'm also one of those guys, even like when I was younger, where I was like, nah, I'm going to tough through this. I'm going to be okay. I'll figure it out. I don't want that. I don't want syrup. I don't want anything to like help me feel better.
Oh, you were just all au natural, huh?
I still am. Yeah. Like it takes.
I'll take some elderberry.
I got to be. No, see, I'm not even. I'm nothing. I had a teacher. I had a teacher, and I can't remember if it was like fourth or fifth grade, but they said like you want to be sick, you want to feel sick for like a couple days before you start taking your medicine, and that helps you actually get healthier faster.
When that viral load is the biggest.
Because anytime I've been sick and I take medicine to stop being sick, I feel like I get sicker. You know, and then all of a sudden, a couple days later, it's like, okay, now I'm starting to feel better.
Now I'm okay. See, and like that's where my brain works that same way, where it's like, no, I need to feel sick for 2 days, and then I can take the Dayquil, then I can take the Nyquil, and I'll tough it out for a little bit. So because I had a teacher, thank you, Mr. Kramer, in like fourth or fifth grade, hey, don't take medicine right away. I never have.
Shout out, Mr. Krames. You know what is going to make me sick is if my beloved Broncos and Bo Nix do not make the playoffs. And that's probably going to happen because after what happened last night, it's one of those that if the Broncos don't win this game and they don't clinch the playoffs now, it's destiny at this point that the Bengals are somehow going to pull this off. The Broncos just needed a win last night in what was an absolute banger of a football game.
Thank you.
I mean, right? You thought that the Bengals were going to win that game multiple times, and the Broncos came right back. It was 10-3 in the second half because no one was scoring in the first half. Great defensive game to start. Broncos tie it. Bengals go up 17-10. You're like, all right, I don't know if the Broncos are going to be... Broncos tie at 17-17. Bengals go up 24-17. What does Bo Nix do? On fourth down, just throw up a prayer to, I believe it was Cortland Sutton that came down with the ball in the end zone. And a very controversial touchdown. It looked like he was maybe still trying to get a little bit of possession on it. But they did call it a touchdown. Tie it. Send it to overtime. The Bengals are lining up for like a 30-yard field goal in overtime. Shanks it left off the upright. The Broncos still have a chance. And what was interesting about that game was even if the Broncos tied, then they would have clinched a playoff spot. And there was a point in overtime where all they needed to do was get a first down, and the Bengals had zero timeouts. And if they would have gotten the first down, they could have just ran out the clock and just kneeled it to a overtime tie. Not an overtime victory, an overtime tie to clinch a playoff spot, which I am very intrigued to see if that would have happened because I feel like a lot of teams, coaches, players are like, no, let's go out and win this. We want to win. We don't want to tie. We want to win this game. I think if the Broncos were in this situation where it's like, listen, if we just need to kneel this thing out to clinch a playoff spot, I know we have a game next week. Like, and I know we have a chance to, there's still time on the clock. We can still go down and technically win this game. I think they're taking the knee. I think Sean Payton's like, screw this. If we can make the playoffs, let's get out of here with a tie. And let's knock the Bengals out of the playoffs, and let's take the tie.
That's a tough one because thinking about it, it's like you want the win, right? You want to be definitive in the win. You're in a position where you can't like. If they'd have tied, they would have made the playoffs if they won next week.
That was one of the scenarios that if the Broncos tie that game, then the Bengals are eliminated.
There's something about Sean Payton that doesn't say tie to me. I want to go ahead and go for the tie.
Also something about Sean Payton that he's been doing it long enough where I think he would be like, hey, if this means that we can get into the playoffs and we know our season can get extended by going to the playoffs, by just taking a tie, I'm going to take the damn tie.
You would think that, but I don't know. I don't know what he was kind of thinking in that moment.
I'm thinking he was
saying go for the win because if you look at how well the Broncos were playing, especially in the second half, Marvin Mims, number one, let's go ahead and say like, man, just throw him the damn ball. Wherever he's at, 8 for 8, you know, 3 touchdowns. Yes, throw him the ball as often as possible, you know, because he was doing work for you. You saw, I think yesterday was the first day as a professional, I looked at Bo Nix and said, you got this. No worries, no everything. He's played well at points and everything, but this was the first game I looked at Bo Nix and said, okay, he's got it. He picked it up right there, and now he's officially like an NFL quarterback. They played well. It just, you know, it wasn't enough in the end, like overtime, you know, and they just, you know, the defense couldn't hold up. But overall, like, I'm thinking Sean Payton saw that and said, no, screw that. We're going for the win.
Well,
like, we could tie and everything, but I'm trusting my guys who've been playing some of the best football they've played all year. Yes, let's go for it right now.
Well, and that's what I don't get. Like, don't get me wrong. As an over bettor, I was really appreciative that it went to OT and guaranteed me a win there. But
especially the way that first half went.
Right. No kidding. I'd chalk that up as an L. But what's weird is why didn't they just go for two? You scored with 8 seconds left.
Well, Bo Nix wanted to,
right?
Yeah.
You see on the video, Bo Nix is saying go for two. I think in that moment you do it. Like that's why when like fans get upset with Dan Campbell or they get upset with Dan Lanning, two more aggressive coaches, I have no issue with what they're doing because they're consistently doing it. Like, you can't do the Sirianni where, like, one game you're going to be ultra aggressive.
Right.
And then the next game, super conservative, because then the numbers don't make sense. Like, you need to be playing to the law of big numbers. If you're playing to the probability of, hey, the computer says go for it, then freaking go for it. And in that moment, I feel like you just have an incredible touchdown catch. You can win the game right now when you don't really have the momentum, and then you're going to trust your defense to try and stop the best quarterback, at least this year, this single year in football. Like, he's not going to win the MVP. Allen's going to win it, or Lamar Jackson's going to win it. But the best quarterback, and the only reason the Bengals even have 12% of a shot to make the playoffs, is because of Joe Burrow. It's Why true. Would I let him touch the football? He's literally gone 8 games in a row of 250 yards and 3 touchdowns. No one's gone 7 in the history of the NFL. And you're going to put the ball in that guy's hands at some point in OT, more than likely? There's just no way I would do it. You need to go for it at the end of the game there. You just scored a touchdown. And if you don't win, you don't win. But at least you went out on your sword instead of taking the coward's way out and slowly dying that slow death.
Well, and outside of the fumble in the fourth quarter, the middle part of the fourth quarter, this was, I mean, they went touchdown, fumble, touchdown. Then they went to overtime, punt, missed field goal, which got them into Denver territory all the way to the Denver 15, and then the game-winning touchdown. So Denver was not stopping the offense really that much in the fourth quarter and overtime. So, yeah, I think that you're right. When I saw that Bo wanted to go for two, I was right there with him. I was like, let's do this. Let's put it all in put the game in their hands right now. Settle it. Don't go to overtime. Usually I am of the proponent. I'm like, dude, just kick the extra point and try and win this game in overtime. But the way that that was going offensively for Cincinnati, I mean, I'm surprised that they stopped them in their first possession of overtime. But it was one of those where you aren't really holding back this Cincinnati defense anymore. Your defense is getting tired. They keep going after this Riley Moss guy, your second cornerback, and it started to show itself towards the end of the game. So woulda, coulda, shoulda. I just wish we would have gotten to the situation where the Broncos got that first down in overtime to see if they would have just kneeled out the ball and been like, screw it, we're getting out of here with a tie. We're going to the playoffs, eliminating the Bengals. That would have been fantastic to see the look on Bengals fans' face in the stadium if they're like, oh my God, the Broncos, yeah, they're just kneeling it out. They're just going for the tie. They're not even going, oh my God, and just seeing the look of realization on Bengals fans and players' face that their season is over and they're not going to the playoffs.
No, I mean, I don't know. I think you could look at it a lot of different ways. You know, if you're Sean Payton, you were trying to be conservative and just make sure that you know, can get a win in overtime or whatever. I'm not sure why you didn't go for two at that point. I was really looking forward to seeing Bo Nix seal, you know, a playoff win or a potential playoff win for his team.
I would have been sick too.
Like that would have been awesome.
You seal know? The game, you seal your playoff chances.
In your rookie year, like, I think there were a lot of people that had a lot to say about Bo Nix being a pro quarterback. And, you know, to do that in your first year, especially after struggling a little bit to start, and especially after all the BS the Broncos have been going through for the past, what, like 4 or 5 years, you know, something like that. Like, it would have been great to see the Oregon guy come in and, you know, kind of right the ship for you. So it sucks that didn't happen, you know, but and they do have a chance to make the playoffs next week or no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. The chance is still alive. I mean,
if they win, I think they're in.
Yeah, they just have to win. They just have to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, that's all.
Who will not be paying, who's not going to play Patrick Mahomes next week.
Is Travis Kelce playing?
I wouldn't be surprised if he was. We will find out once we get closer.
But it
doesn't matter because somehow the Broncos are going to lose. Somehow the Bengals are going to beat the Steelers. Again, with how that game ended up working out for the Bengals, how they've won 4 in a row to get themselves to this point, it's one of those I'm like, dude, it's going to happen. Yeah. Like, I just have that bad feeling.
Well, let's go,
and I hope that my negative energy does not go out into the world and make it happen. And as you said, though, let's go, Bo, though. This is one thing that the Broncos can hang their hat on.
Man.
One thing that Broncos can hang their hat on is that they have their franchise quarterback. That's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah, you got to know. I mean, after a lot of you know, crap quarterbacks, and even Russell Wilson, who's not a crap quarterback, you know, but
it just did not go well.
It just didn't go well. You know, a lot of that was Sean Payton's fault, but you know, I digress. But yeah, good job to the Broncos for at least staging a comeback this year.
So Broncos, Bengals still fighting for that last playoff spot. I believe the Dolphins and Colts still have a chance as well. I don't know what the scenarios
are. They do. I just had it up. I just took it away. So the Bengals have to win. Broncos have to lose. And then the Colts and Miami, they have to lose one game. So they could either lose this week or they could lose next week. But they have to each lose one for the Bengals to get in.
So we could look at it during the breaks because now I wonder, do the Colts or Dolphins actually have a better chance of making the playoffs versus the Bengals?
Yeah, the Bengals they have a 12% chance. They need three losses, essentially.
Okay, gotcha. Well, a team that does not have to worry about their playoff future, it is the team down in L.A. with another Oregon quarterback. We get to that next. But first, Will Ortner with a SportsCenter update.
Listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
This on the Vancouver Ford text line. If we want to root against the Chiefs, we want Joe Burrow in the playoffs. Yes, this is very true. And also, this is if we want to talk about scenarios that teams could find themselves in, do the Chiefs go into next week saying, we don't want to have the chance to run into Joe Burrow and the Bengals? Let's just let the Broncos win. Which, in the NFL, that never works. There is no tanking. There is no players. There is no coaches telling players, hey, play 50%.
Yeah.
Your effort out there.
Yeah.
Please.
You want to play hard, but not too hard today.
Yeah, because the Chiefs, they play the Broncos next week. If the Broncos win, they're in. The Chiefs, they have their number one seed locked up already with their victory on Christmas Day. So they're not going to play Mahomes. Mahomes has got a banged up ankle. I mean, they're going to probably sit a few starters, is my guess. I don't know about Kelce if he said or if they've said or not, but I wouldn't. So we'll see there. The Bengals, they'll play the Steelers, and the Steelers, they need something to go right. They need some confidence going into the playoffs because they have lost three straight games now, all to playoff teams, by double digits, by multiple possessions. So, you know, the Steelers are going to be, even with a playoff berth clinched, I think that they're going to be going to that game against the Bengals full throat, trying to get a win, trying to beat the Bengals, trying to give themselves a better playoff position. But there is one team that was playing football yesterday that, sorry, Rashad, clinched in emphatic fashion. My God.
Say sorry to me. It's, man, shoot.
Dear God.
It's not good.
That is the Los Angeles Chargers winning 40-7 against the New England Patriots. And in the first year of the Jim Harbaugh era, the Chargers are going to the playoffs. The first time since that god-awful performance by the Chargers where they blew a 28 points. Was
27?
It?
Yeah.
Against the Jaguars. It was a lot.
It was a lot. Yeah.
It was many points. All the points. But the Chargers are going back to the playoffs, which great for Herbert, great for Harbaugh. I don't know how far they're going to make it. Their defense gives me a lot of faith. Justin Herbert gives me a lot of faith. It's the matter of his weapons. Now, McConkey has come on strong over the last few weeks for this Chargers team, turning into one of the best rookie wide receivers. I just don't know if they're going to have the firepower to keep up with a Bills team, with a Ravens team, with the Chiefs if they end up moving on to the next round and facing them. If you're the Chargers right now, it's like, dude, get us Houston. Get us Pittsburgh, please, for this first round matchup. If the playoffs were to start today, they would be taking on the Ravens in the first round, and I think that is the team that you want to avoid. The Ravens and the Bills. Those are the two teams you do not want to face in the first round because the Ravens, they're starting to play really good football. We saw that on Christmas Day with their 31-2 victory. Good job, Houston, getting your 2 points. But Houston has been a very weird team this year, and they've been playing terrible. Their offense has been terrible. The Steelers, as mentioned just a few moments ago, multiple possessions they're losing to playoff teams. So if you're the Chargers and you want a specific matchup, you're asking for either of those two teams. But props to Herbert, Harbaugh, and the crew because they are playoff bound.
Yeah, and the Chargers don't score a lot of points in games. Like
their offense has been better. They've been better than the start of the year, but you're right. I mean, yeah, they're
not blowing teams out, right? You know, and I think I mean, they're most teams. I mean, if they play New England every week, then they're going to have an undefeated season.
Again, my God.
If anybody plays New England, they're going to have, you know, a great game. It's one of those things. Like, we all had that high school team that we played against that we knew that.
It was Park Rose for us.
Was it Park Rose?
Oh, yeah.
It was Cleveland for us.
When we saw Park Rose on the schedule, yeah. We're like, okay, that's
a dub. We look and see where the Cleveland game is. Don't let it be homecoming. We're looking to see where Cleveland is. Like, oh, man, that's three touchdowns for you. Three interceptions for you, like it was. We kind of start, you know, putting, and then those things would happen. And so I think the Patriots right now are that team in the NFL to where people look at that and go, "Oh yeah, I'm about to have a crazy game."
I think it was my sophomore year we put up 80 on Park Rose.
Oh, Central Catholic beat us in our playoff game, 60-6.
Jesus,
Michael Harrington, Joey Harrington's brother. Just had a field day with us, and it wasn't even close. Every time I passed the Hillsboro Stadium, I'm like, ugh.
You just have those memories.
Oh, that wasn't great. But no, I think the Chargers, they've gotten much better, and I think the one thing they have going for them this year that they haven't had in the past few years is Jim Harbaugh. And we see how Jim Harbaugh can come in a year and change the fortunes of a franchise. He's done it once before with San Francisco. The people thought Alex Smith was washed. And then he got there, and oh, what do you know? He's good. And then took a backup named Kaepernick to the Super Bowl. Like, it's just kind of one of those things, man. He's a quarterback whisperer, and he understands how to get through to these guys. And I always say, if you're going to be a successful team, especially if you have a young quarterback, they need an offensive coach. You can't have a defensive-minded guy a la Drake May, you know, who's struggling right now with the Patriots because you have a defensive-minded person who's the head coach. And sometimes that just doesn't work. Belichick is the exception to the rule because not only is he a great defensive mind, he's a great offensive mind as well. And he's smart enough to put better offensive minds around him to be able to make things move. You don't need to do that with Jim Harbaugh.
He's great at understanding how to win in the trenches, I think.
100%.
And, like, as a former quarterback, he doesn't ask his quarterback to do too much. Like, he understands. He almost has a feel, I think, in the offense that he runs, that he runs it in a way that he doesn't need a Herbert. Like, we know that Justin Herbert is one of the more elite quarterbacks in the NFL. He's probably a top 10 guy, and if he's not top 10, he's 11, right?
Right.
Like, he's right there on the fringe. But what Harbaugh does is he builds an offensive line that is just full of maulers and road graders, and he gets a running back stable, usually two or three, where there's a rotation, and you're going to get, you know, somewhere between 8 to 15 touches, depending on if you're cold that day or you're hot that day. And that's going to allow them to stay healthy throughout the year, longer than most running backs would if you were just going with the pure feature back.
Mm-hmm.
And then defensively, he always seems to go out and get big defensive linemen and get a strong defensive line. Like, this is one of the better years that Bosa and Mack have had together in a while, right?
Yeah,
like,
Mack is having a great year. Yeah.
It looks like they turned the clock back. And what he understands is, well, if I create a strong defensive line in the trenches, that makes life easier for my secondary. And they can sit back in coverage more, and I don't have to come in as many players into the box. And then offensively, it's if I can run the football and I only ask my quarterback to throw it 30 times, I don't need him to win me football games. Now, I'm going to get a quarterback that can outright win me a football game because sometimes things don't go your way. But more often than not, law of big numbers, I can win playing hard-nosed, smash-mouth, grind-it-out football where we run the football. We let my offensive lineman just lean on you, lean on you, lean on you. And then I have my quarterback pick opportune moments to take advantage of a defensive secondary in the play-action pass. And he just continues to win with it in college and in the NFL.
Yeah, and hopefully that J.K. Dobbins is healthy for him going into the playoffs because he's had any year that you can get J.K. Dobbins to play more than 10 games is a great year for J.K. Dobbins at this point. But hopefully he gets healed up a little bit. Gus Edwards obviously having him as a change of pace back. But really having Harbaugh and Greg Roman and the D coordinator. His name is escaping me right now. But, I mean, this Chargers team is just all around clicking. Now, again, whether they're going to be able to have the offensive firepower to keep up with a Bills team if they face them, if they're going to be able to keep Lamar and Derrick Henry and that team in check if they end up facing them. Very intrigued to see, you know, if that's the first round that we get. I want to see Justin, Jim, Chargers go as far as possible in the playoffs, so that's why I say I want to see them take on the Texans or the Steelers first round. Granted, you got to go to Pittsburgh if that is the matchup. Possibly, actually, with the playoff matchups, now that I think about it, I mean, you would have Houston would get a home game. Buffalo's going to get a home game. Yeah, because the Chargers, they can't win the conference or their division, so they would be traveling anywhere. But so even if you play Pittsburgh and you have to go to Pittsburgh, that's going to be tough. And don't ever bet against a Mike Tomlin team.
I was about to say, man.
But I just want to see the Chargers move on and go as far as possible. And if you get a playoff win under your belt, if you're Los Angeles, then having the confidence going into a Buffalo, a Baltimore, a Kansas City in the next round, I think that will do wonders for you. And I'm very intrigued to see how that would look for them. I think they'd have a great chance against Baltimore. Going to Buffalo scares me. I feel like when you play in Buffalo, just that team and that fan base just gets up for those moments. It's almost like a Green Bay effect. When you go to Green Bay, the Packers are just like 10 points better. And then the Kansas City. I mean, the way that Kansas City has looked this year, I mean, I know that they've got to be one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. They're obviously the one seed, but can you not see Kansas City just gacking a game in the playoffs and not winning it this year, just the way that they've been playing?
No, I don't think the referees are going to allow that. Honestly, I don't think the league is going to allow. They really want this narrative, and they really want Patrick Mahomes to go 3 in a row, be the first one to do it. It makes sense, you know, but I think that's the script right now. This is what everybody else feels like when my Patriots were running through the league. And now I understand. It's like, oh, okay, that's why y'all were so upset all the time. I get it now. I don't know, man. I feel the only thing about the Chargers that worries me going into the playoffs is they haven't beaten anybody. Like, you look at the wins that they have on their schedule, the Broncos might be the best team that they beat all year. And they just, if I'm being honest, they barely got that, you know. So I'm just kind of, I don't know what to expect from them. I do want Justin Herbert to go into the playoffs and just be this out of this world good. That would be awesome, you know. But I just kind of feel like this team isn't good enough to even compete with the Pittsburgh, who I think people are really overlooking Pittsburgh because of the whole Russell Wilson, you know,
well, and Justin the fact Fields thing. That they've just looked like trash
They've been not good, but to be honest, the Chargers haven't had a great month. Let's just be real. Like, they're 1-3, it's one of them things where we're rooting for them because of Herbert. But
the Chargers have won their last two games.
But the prior to that, like, the record wasn't great, you know, coming in this game. So, I don't know. There's still a lot of question marks, but I guess we'll find out.
Chargers are in. We still have one more AFC spot to be taken. The NFC is still up for grabs as well. The Rams, they got some help thanks to Trey McBride's dome last night. Kyler Murray just throwing a million mile per hour fastball at Trey McBride, which ended up in an interception, and the Rams come out with a win. The Seahawks got a win in a just classic, vaunted back-and-forth
matchup. It's one of the best games I've seen.
My God. That was just, yeah, I mean, I was locked in the entire time. I was not playing Bejeweled on my phone the majority of that game. Absolutely not. So we have things still to be decided today as far as number one seeds, playoff berths, division berths. And then it will all come down to next week as far as who's going to win that final AFC wildcard spot, who's going to clinch the NFC West, who's going to clinch the NFC South, which could happen today as well if the Falcons win, Michael Penix, and if the Bucks lose. But let's try and get some dubs ourselves. Let's try and get some wins on the betting board. It is Who Do You Love coming up next here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
All right, time for Who Do You Love? I am going through last week's games and marking the green ones, marking the red ones. I did have a 1-2 week last week, so
good.
It was a chance for you guys to gain some ground. Unfortunately, Rashad, you also went 1-2.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm trying to find
this
out.
This has not been a great season. Fantasy-wise, everything has not... It's been trash. It's been crap.
Fantasy not go well for you this year?
Oh, no. Fantasy was by far the worst it's been ever.
Not even a playoff berth?
Oh, heavens no. Heavens no.
Jesus.
Yeah. Awful.
So looking at last week, your boy got Eagles Commanders over, right? 46.5. The Buccaneers losing on Monday night to the Cowboys. I mean, not obviously not covering, but just getting absolutely dominated. Who saw that coming? I mean, Baker Mayfield was running for his life the entire game.
Man.
Dude, that was, as a Cowboys fan, very upset. Thing. I mean, you just keep winning games and helping your, or worsening your draft stock. So I don't know what the hell's happening there.
Oh, man. I don't know. They're auditioning a new quarterback, it looks like.
And this is potentially my worst pick of the year. The Giants covering 9.5 against the Falcons, and then Drew Lock throwing 2 pick sixes to making sure that does not happen at all. Appreciate that.
Good luck, Drew Lock.
Thank you. Very happy that you did that. Your Lions -7 against the Bears, definitely covered.
Yeah.
Your Patriots, though, putting up against a fight against the Bills. Not letting the Bills cover that 14.
Yeah, I mean, they gotta swing at some point, right? Way to go, Pats.
And then the Seahawks, for the second straight week, you went Seahawks money line in the second straight week.
Never again.
It did not hit.
Never again. Seattle, this is why I hate you. Never again. Not doing that ever again.
Jordan took the Jags +2.5. That was the game. That was that Jags-Raiders game where I was like, dude, I would stay away from that. There is no winners in that. I don't know why you would do that. That was the only one that did not hit. He did take Eagles Commanders on the over, and then he went player prop Kyren Williams over 82.5 rushing yards, and that hit. So he goes 2-1, and he is at 14-20-2. Rashad, you are 14-18-1. I am 20-15-1. Will Ortner, Big Will Betts, will play the role of Jordan Schultz today. So giving him a chance to gain some ground. And I am getting the bets pulled up right now. There's a part of me that wants to take the Cowboys to cover against the Eagles -7.5 because the Eagles will have Kenny Pickett out there, Kenny Two Gloves playing. So there's definitely part of me that wants to go there. But I am a sicko, and I am going to go with the Raiders Saints under 37.5. Those are two god-awful teams. Those are two teams that are allergic to scoring points, allergic to offense. And, yeah, because I'm a sick bastard, and I don't like points, and I want to see something funny happen, I'm going to go Raiders Saints under 37.5.
I'm going to go with the Buffalo Jets game. I think the Jets are the over-under is 44.5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the under. I don't expect the Jets to score very many points. I do expect Buffalo to get at least, 30 on the board, somewhere around there, maybe even 35, but I don't really expect any more than a touchdown from this Jets team.
Yeah, I've got the Vikings -1.5 against the Packers. I believe this is even now switched over to where the Packers are favored. I got this in on Monday. I just think that the Vikings are in a better spot than Green Bay. I think that Flores and that defense can dial up some pressures that confuse Jordan Love, and they're going to be able to get after Jordan Love. If they can stop Jordan Love's ability to elongate a play, turn it into backyard football where he's running out of the pocket, get that pressure on him, but get him in a contained rush, I think that the Vikings are going to be able to win this football game, and I think it's going to set up for a big-time matchup in Week 18 when they take on the Lions.
So I just want to confirm, I am seeing the Packers favored, so Vikings plus 1.5.
Yeah, so it switched. I grabbed them on Monday. So when I put my bets in, I always give out the bets that I grabbed on Monday. I grabbed them on Monday when the Vikings were favored. So maybe not my best bet ever. But.
Gotcha. All right. Well, because this is Sunday, I will give you the Vikings plus 1.5.
I'll take it.
I am going to the Dolphins and the Browns. By the way, the total on this game, 32.5 between the Dolphins and the Browns. But I'm going to go with Dolphins covering -3 because the Browns might not score more than 10 points, if at all. The DTR looked absolutely atrocious against the Bengals. That offense looked atrocious. And Miami still with a shot at the playoffs. They need to win this game. I know it is in Cleveland, so you're going to the dog pound. But I say the Dolphins offense, they click, they get it going. And even if not, it's not like they need to score a lot of points to beat this Cleveland Browns team, but I say they do cover the -3.
I'm taking the Monday night game. That's Lions visiting the 49ers. Lions are 3.5-point favorites. The over-under is 50.5. I think I'm taking the over on that, only because
a lot of confidence in you saying that.
No, actually, yeah, I know. I'm just gonna I'm gonna do it just because San Francisco doesn't score a lot of points, but the Lions do, and so I do feel like if they're gonna get their usual 35 points, if San Francisco can score 17, then looks like I'm in the mix. So I think that's kind of what's going to happen. I think it's going to be a blowout, but I do think it's going to be a lot of points scored by the Lions.
Did you say over or under for, over. For the Bills, Jets? Sorry.
Oh,
that was 44.5.
I said under.
I believe you said
I think I said under. Yeah.
Under 44.5.
Yep.
All right.
I'm sticking with the same game. I've got the Lions -3.5. The whole reason behind that is Dan Campbell said that they're not going to sit anyone. They're not going to rest anyone. And when he says that, I tend to believe him. I don't think that they have the ability in, like, their fortitude, in their culture, to take a game off. That's not what they do. No. That's never been what Dan Campbell has been about. I think that they're going to go up against a San Francisco team that is kind of dead in the water. And right now you're seeing, like, a crumbling of what was once a pretty good dynasty, or at least a team that was consistently going to be in the NFC playoffs. It seems like that is crumbling at the seams now, and they're probably going to have to reload. Maybe not entirely reset, but definitely reload. And I just think that the Lions kind of put that final nail in the coffin. There's no Undertaker meme where the 49ers pop up and they get a victory here. I think that the Lions blow them out.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to be a sicko. I'm going to go Cowboys covering +7.5 against the Eagles. I think the Eagles do end up winning it and clinching the division, but again, with the Eagles having to play Kenny Pickett for all of 4 quarters. Now, granted, I know that the Cowboys have to play Cooper Rush again for all of 4 quarters, but Cooper Rush hasn't been terrible. And this Cowboys defense, since Micah Parsons came back, has been absolutely phenomenal. I think that even though the Cowboys technically have nothing to play for, that's kind of been the case for them the last couple weeks, and they've been showing out. And I think they want to go into Philadelphia and still give their best effort. Also, when you saw Kenny Pickett go in for the Eagles last week, yes, he threw a touchdown pass, but I'm pretty sure when he went into the game, they were already in the red zone at that point. And then Saquon Barkley ripped off a big touchdown run. Outside of that, that offense did nothing. The Commanders were able to come back in that game, win despite turning the ball over 5 times. I have no confidence in the Eagles offense with Kenny Pickett having to play 4 quarters. And again, the way the Cowboys defense has been looking over the last couple weeks has given me confidence that they will cover the 7.5 against the Eagles.
I'm going Raiders visiting the New Orleans Saints. This is going to be a pretty bad game.
Oh, I know. That's why I took the under.
So check this. So the Raiders haven't scored at least 20 since week 9. The Saints haven't scored at least 20 since week 11. So the over-under on this one is 37.5. I'm definitely taking the under. I don't expect either team to do much offensively.
My last pick, I've got the Commanders -4 against the Falcons. The whole reasoning here is this Atlanta team was fine when Penix came in. Like, I thought Penix played well, but
it was the defense.
Didn't play great. The defense, they don't feel like a team rising, right? It almost feels like they made the move to Penix because well, what's the worst case scenario? We stay outside of the playoffs. If we make it in the playoffs, they're not really, they don't seem like a team that's going to win. Where like the Commanders, they know they need to win, right? They need to win, and they need to lean on Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels goes out. He has another big time performance. They win this football game, and I think they end up covering.
All right. That's who you love. I got Raiders Saints under 37.5, as does Rashad. I got the Dolphins covering against the Browns -3, Cowboys covering +7.5. Rashad's got, he's going all over over unders today. Bills Jets under 44.5, Lions 49ers over 50.5, and then Will, in substitute for Jordan, will be taking the Vikings +1.5, the Lions -3.5, and the Commanders -4. That is who do you love? We will start hour number two. Hopefully you have Red Zone on the TV or your football game of choice, but you keep us on the radio dial. Let the draft debate begin. Who are you going to take with the number one overall pick? Got some other bowl game stuff to get to, and the playoffs are just a few days away. At least the quarterfinals and the Ducks, Ohio State, and the other three matchups are right around the corner. We get to all that. Hour number two, college football packed right here, Football Sunday, 10 to the Fan.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples. If I can't jump.
Hour number two of Football Sunday, and literally as I'm turning on my microphone, Eagles are taking back a pick six.
That didn't take long at all, did it?
Dope. Well, again, I was telling Rashad during the break, I'm in a conundrum with this Cowboys-Eagles game because I need the Cowboys to lose as many games as possible to end the season so that way they have better draft position. But I am a big fan of when the Cowboys beat the Eagles.
Well, it looks like Cooper Rush is helping out, you know, because that was a terrible throw.
Wow.
And I'm not sure. He had the slant across the middle and instead decided to throw into double coverage, which is always a great idea for a quarterback.
Well, he clearly didn't see that guy that was in the middle there. And that's why he played four quarters, okay?
He needs an HD visor or something because that's, I don't know, you can't be a starter if you don't see that guy.
That's why you play four quarters of football. We still got a chance. Again, I didn't say the Cowboys would win. I just said they would cover the 7.5. And right now, down 7-0, that's covering,
you're on,
baby.
You're on the right track.
Where that's covering. All right, hour number two. Getting to some college football stuff here. And it is time to start the debate. It is now officially that time. Who do you take, Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward? Do you take the guy who played the first half of his bowl game and then sat out because he realized, okay, I broke the record that I needed to and I want to get paid millions of dollars and not have a devastating injury? And while the Pop-Tart Bowl is fantastic, I don't care. Or do you want to take Shedeur Sanders, who seemingly was not with the team the last 3 weeks because the way that offense looked last night at the Alamo Bowl was god-awful. Either way, Giants, Raiders, best of luck with either one. But the debate is it was already kind of started to begin with, but now with both of those players and their seasons being over in college football, it is time for them to start their pre-draft process, get their pro days scheduled. I don't know when the combine is, what day that is. Start getting their interviews with teams. Cam Ward is going to have to answer for why he didn't play the second half. Do you care about winning? Do you care about your teammates? What is wrong with you?
No, I don't. I don't know if Cam does. Like,
did you not want to pull down the toaster tab and sacrifice a giant Pop-Tart?
And I'll say this, and I've said this on the show before.
Where's the passion?
Will, you weren't here, but I think it's silly that the college football playoff has incorporated all of the major bowl games as playoff games. You've taken away the lore of those games. Like, there's going to be a team this year that wins a Fiesta Bowl, a Cotton Bowl, and a national championship in the same year. That's crazy to me. Like, I mean, it's kind of one of those things. And I think if this were not the Pop-Tart Bowl and this were the Sugar Bowl, or if this were the Rose Bowl or Fiesta Bowl, I do not think Cam Ward sits out and loses by 1 point in that game. I think he continues to play the game because, at least, if nothing else, I'm not going to walk away with a national championship, but going home with a Fiesta Bowl trophy, going home with an Orange Bowl trophy, like, that's saying something. Like, those are the major bowl games, and then the national championship. So I think this Las Vegas Bowl and the Pop-Tart Bowl, all these could have been just fine for the college football playoff, and everybody would have watched them because it's in the playoff. So I think if this were a different game, he would have played the entire thing. But for me, the answer is pretty easy, and it's Shedeur Sanders, you know, at this point for me.
Do you think that it's possible that Cam and Mario and the rest of that coaching staff came together and kind of had, like, hey, let's find a way to get you with the record, but then we want to have Jones come in and quarterback. He's going to be our quarterback next year. To my knowledge, Miami hasn't gone out and gotten a big name transfer QB. He's a sophomore, so he's going to be back. Is there a possibility that they worked out kind of a deal? Bo Nix did a similar thing last year when he was on the Ducks, and they wanted to get some extra reps for some of their backups. I believe it was still Ty Thompson at the time. And so it was kind of, hey, Bo, you're going to go and play the first half, and it's going to be our way of honoring you, and you're showing your teammates, hey, I'm going to play for you, I'm going to take care of you guys. But then we're going to make the move and have our younger quarterback, a guy that could be our starting quarterback next year, we want to get him some valuable reps against a premier team because they're playing Iowa State. Iowa State's a football game away from being in the college football playoff. That's a valuable game for that Jones kid to actually get some reps and to learn. A lot of your top wide receivers are out anyways, so now he's getting to rep with wide receivers that are going to be starting for him next year. Is it possible that maybe they came to an agreement beforehand, and then not only did they come to an agreement beforehand, but this is something that you're going to start seeing more colleges do?
One, yes, I 100% think that that's what they did. That would not surprise me at all if that's what Cam Ward wanted to do. Wouldn't it surprise me at all if Mario Cristobal just laid over and said, yeah, sure, whatever you want to do. Yeah, sounds good. And also just giving a complete non-answer in the post-game press conference. I wish we had the audio for that, because I heard it last night in his press conference. Mario Cristobal, someone asked him, like, oh, did you guys talk about that before? And he's like, you know, I'm going to keep private conversations private. I always talk to our guys before the bowl game goes about what we want to do. But, yeah, I'm not going to share those details. I'm like, yeah, so you did talk to him beforehand, and this is exactly what you decided to do. And so that way he could set – I don't even know what the record was. It was some ACC record. I don't know if it was touchdowns or yards.
D1 touchdown passes. So it incorporates his touchdown passes that he threw at Wazoo. It incorporates his touchdown passes that he threw at Incarnate Word. So he passed Case Keenum, who had done it all in Houston. And so he now has the all-time D1 record, where I think Case Keenum still holds the FBS record.
I don't know, bro. I'm old school. I saw Willis McGahee get his knee, you know, torn to shreds and then become the number one pick the next year. I saw Kenyon Martin, you know, tear his knee up and be the number one pick, you know, that same year.
Like, yeah, but I also saw Jalen Smith, who was supposed to be a top 10 linebacker, get drafted and his knee get shredded.
I get it, you know,
the same player.
And I understand that part, but last college game, and again, I think it was for nothing because nobody knows what this bowl game is. So it's easy for me to say, you know, coach, I'm good. I don't want to play in this game. But, you know, I honestly truly think if it was a different game, then there's no way that you're not playing in that game. There's no way I'm letting a sophomore come in and get my starting reps. The only way he's going to play is if we're up 30. And now, yeah, now you can put him. It's fourth quarter. Have at it. You know, play him the entire time. But I don't know. I'm old school with it. So things are clearly different now. But I don't know. I don't know if I, as a starting quarterback, I think scouts look at that type of stuff and like, you know, well, why didn't you play? When he goes to the combine, he's going to be asked that a few times. Did you not want to help your team? Like, what happened?
No, I wanted to help your team.
I mean, hey.
That would be the answer is that, I mean, it's like, I did not play that second half. Yeah, I got my record. Yeah, I played with the guys. But when it came down to it, I wanted to help your team more than I
did. So records are all that important to you. If you didn't have a record to break, would you have played in that game? Like, you know, little questions like that.
No, I wouldn't have. But
character questions, especially as a quarterback.
I'm trying to do my Cam Ward answers for you. But no. It's like, yeah, I care about my team. I care about records. I care about personal greatness. But I also care about what I want to do for your franchise. And that's when a Super Bowl, and I want to be healthy enough to do that. And if that means playing a second half in the Pop-Tart Bowl to risk injury, I'm gonna look towards my future then in that moment. And if you think that's selfish, I totally understand. But also, I think that it's looking out for the best for what this franchise could be and what our potential is as me being the quarterback of insert team.
Arrogant. Check. Well, thank you Naive. So much, Cam. Thank you so much.
I will tell you that you know how much this affected his draft stock, though?
Probably zero.
Absolutely yeah. Zero. I guarantee that the Raiders, the Giants, those are the two teams that were actually at the game scouting him. This had zero effect in what he did. They saw him, what did he have, 3 touchdowns yesterday? Yeah. They saw him do that in the first half. They're like, okay,
I think we've seen
we're
enough.
Done here.
Yeah.
I think they didn't even watch the second half. I think they left after the first half.
Nobody wants a Pop-Tarts trophy.
That was a nice over-hit for me, by the way.
Yeah.
I hit that in the first half.
I was going to say, that was like, what was the first half score? Like 35-21 or yeah, something like
that? It technically hit, because I had it at 56.5. It technically hit when they were both at 28. So with like 10 minutes into the second quarter, because the game wasn't going to end in a tie and they were going to score.
The part of me, and just real quickly on Rashad's point about making the, you know, the New Year's Six Bowl, like non-playoff games. I hear what you're saying. It does take away the importance of those games a bit, but who's to say you can't make the Pop-Tart Bowl a playoff game, which Jason Sukanik did make that point last night on Twitter that the Pop-Tart Bowl needs to be a playoff game bowl, and he will hear no other answer. And there's part of me that it's like, yeah, it's like, it's still a playoff game. And as much as people want to say like, oh, well, what game is going to, what's going to give us the most eyeballs? What's going to make this more important? People are going to watch football, regardless of what it is, who it's presented to by, what bowl game it is. Do you really think people, now the Rose Bowl, a little bit different, but do you really think people are watching the Penn State, Boise State game, and the top priority for them is like, well, it is the Fiesta Bowl. It's like, no, it's because it's a college football playoff
game. Like, oh, and that just happens to be the Fiesta Bowl.
Yes.
But if you were to say, oh, the Fiesta Bowl is Michigan versus Alabama, okay, that's a little more, you know, I'd be okay with watching that game. Well, let me turn that on. Michigan, Alabama's playing each other, two teams that are both storied and very seldom get a chance to play each other, and that's happened in the Rose Bowl.
I think that's where you would have to somewhat win people is like, what, the Fiesta Bowl, that's usually against some of the best teams in the country. Like, true, but it is Michigan, Alabama. Like, if you have two brands that are, you know, blue blood, storied schools, that's, I think, the only way you could make that pass with a 7-5 Michigan and a 9-3 Alabama in that game is if they are brand name household.
But I don't get up for the Music City Bowl or the ReliaQuest Bowl.
Whoa.
You know, it's just kind of one of those things. Like, I'm not.
How dare you besmirch ReliaQuest? I don't even know what that is.
Did you get up for the Snoop Dogg Bowl?
Exactly.
The Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl?
Yeah, exactly.
The C-Dub?
And that can stand on its own, right? Because you got this big figure in Snoop or Gronk or whomever. Like, okay, that can stand on its own as its own little, you know, bowl game in the playoff. And that would be fine. But I don't know. I think you got a lot of – you missed the mark with a lot of teams, you know, in the well, teams outside of the playoff, because outside of those 12 teams that made it, you telling me 13-20 weren't good teams? They're all pretty good teams with one or two losses.
All right, let's keep it going because we do have playoff games to talk about. The playoffs are just, what is it, 1-2 days away. The first one is just 2 days away, and then the rest of them are 3 days away. That's how math works. That's how the calendar works. We get to that next. Playoff football. In a few days, but next here on Football Sunday.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
College football playoffs, just a couple days away. We have our first game on Tuesday. That is the Fiesta Bowl. Penn State versus Boise State. That's our first matchup. Please, Boise State, win. Just please. Please, for the heavens.
Something tells me.
Please, for the love of God.
I don't know. Something tells me that that's probably not going to happen.
Why? Why are you such a hater? Why are you so negative?
I'm not trying to be. I'm sorry. I'm really not.
Has Boise State been in the Fiesta Bowl any other time besides that upset win against Oklahoma?
They beat someone else. They're doing the throwback unis
as they should.
So did they beat TCU?
They were there 2014 and they beat Arizona. That was the year that Arizona was in the Pac-12 championship, and they beat Oregon earlier in the season, but then lost to Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game.
That's right.
That was 2014.
Is that the Scooby Wright team or whatever? Scooby Wright?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe
so. They were a fun team.
So that was 2014 that they won that Fiesta Bowl. They beat TCU in 2009 as well, so you were correct there, Will. And then the Oklahoma overtime classic winner that we all know. In 2006. So they're 3-0 against teams in the Fiesta Bowl. I lock it up. I think Penn State's in trouble. I think that Boise State goes.
I mean, when you look at it like
gets
that,
the dub on Tuesday.
When you look at it like that, you know, they definitely have an advantage having, you know, being undefeated.
They
own
the Fiesta Bowl.
You know, they definitely have that advantage. Penn State is really good, though. Like, I think people, it's easy to overlook them because of the two losses. Because they lost to Oregon in the Big Ten championship, you know, but that's a hell of a football team, both offensively and defensively. Like, they can give you problems outside of, you know, Genty, you know. I'm trying to figure out, like, who else are, where are your impact players if you're Boise State? Because you're going to need them all to beat this Penn State team. Like, they're not playing. You saw even against Oregon, they really, you know, pushed against them. And if not for frigid temperatures, if not for a few mistakes that were made, you know, they're probably the Big Ten champions at a point. But man, I don't think Boise State has a huge, kind of like I felt about but SMU. It's like, I'm glad that they're here. Good for SMU. And this is coming from a team that, my team is in the Mountain West. UNLV was almost there. They get into the Big Ten championship. They win that game. Like, they go there. But I would say the same things. Like, UNLV has no chance against Penn State. You know,
but UNLV isn't Boise State.
They're not. But I'd
they
be
ain't
saying
the Broncos.
I'd
bud.
Be saying the same thing. I just think, honestly, Boise State really rests on the fact that they had a great game against Oregon. That's been the entire season. They had a great game, but came up short against Oregon. That's been the entire measuring stick for them all year, was this close game they had against the number one team in the country. Like, I think Penn State is much, I mean, I'm not going to say, they're much better than Oregon was at that point in the season. Let's say that.
What they're able to do defensively, not just with Abdul Carter, who for my money is the best defensive player in the country right now, what he's able to do at that defensive end outside linebacker position, I mean, he's a game record. There's only been one person who's even been able to slow him down, and that was Connor Lee. And no offense to Boise State, they have a really good O-line. They probably have the best O-line in the group of five. They don't have someone that's going to stop Abdul Carter, and he's athletic enough that they'll move him around. Like, you watched it against Oregon. He was out at left tackle. Then he went to right tackle. Then he went inside, and they used him as, like, a quarterback spy. Like, he's so impressive athletically that they're going to put him in the best spot for not only them to succeed, but the entire team. But then you throw in the fact that it's not just Abdul Carter. You have a defensive line that is one of the best in the country. You have a secondary that is going to be able to shut down Maddox Madsen and the rest of that Boise State offense. I would love for Boise State to win this football game, but I think the only way that they're able to win this football game is that they cause multiple turnovers from Drew Aller, And then that offense has to look kind of the same that it did against SMU. And here's the thing. That offense didn't impress me against SMU, but it didn't have to impress me. I think once they got the second interception for a touchdown, that second pick six, Andy Kotelnicki just called the dogs off. He's like, why would I show anyone if I don't have to? I think there's a chance that when we look back at this season, we say the best three teams were in the Big Ten. There's a chance it's Oregon, Ohio State, which I do think that whoever wins that Rose Bowl, that's going to be your national champion.
Yeah.
And then Penn State, because I think that Penn State can beat Boise State clearly, but I think that in the next round they would beat or would have a really good opportunity to beat Notre Dame or Georgia, whoever comes out of it. So when I look at this Penn State team, they have a multitude of different ways where they can win. They can win in a shootout where they just lean on Drew Aller. They can win a game where they just lean on Singleton and Allen and just run the ball the entire game. And then they can also win this game probably by just their defense. Boise State only wins this game if Ashton Jeanty has 300 yards and they have a couple interceptions or fumble recoveries. And I just don't see that happening.
Well, then at that point, I mean, that's, to me, as you mentioned, the only way that Boise State wins this is if they're able to control the time of possession, keep Penn State's defense on the field, get them tired. But at that point, I mean, if you're Penn State, it's just like load the box, stop the run, make Maddox Madsen beat us,
yeah,
which isn't going to happen. And that's, listen, I want you guys to be wrong. I want to be wrong. I think Penn State's going to win this. I want Boise State. Like, this would just, this would vindicate a lot of the playoff, the feelings around the playoff. Or I guess go against a lot of the feelings of the playoff is that Oregon got screwed, which, you know, they kind of did with their playoff rollout. But if Penn State ends up getting upset about Boise State, that argument goes out the window. And I would just love to see Boise State, who is known as being the Cinderella team in these scenarios, end up pulling this upset. Just please, pray to God. And if it's going to happen to any team, please let it happen to Penn State. Please.
Well, you know, rather it happen to Ohio State, but but either way,
I have a former D coordinator at Penn State that I would feel that you would agree with me about that statement. So,
oh, okay. Well, I still ain't forgot the whole, you know, stuff that happened for Penn State. So I'm still a little like,
that's what I'm saying. Whatever. If that could happen to any fan base, any team, but, any school, I would much rather, I would have Boise State upset Penn State.
Yeah, but I think really Penn State needs this to really wash that palate. To, you know, they really need this national championship to really forget all about Joe Pa, and now maybe not all about him, but forget about the sour taste that left in everybody's mouth when, you know, Joe Pa passed and all the stuff that happened prior to, you know, to him passing away. So Penn State needs this win, I think, more than we're kind of banking on. And honestly, who has an easier path to a national championship than Penn State?
No one has failed upwards more than Penn State. Like, think about it. You go against Ohio State, that's the only, like, true test you have this year, and you lose, yet you get to go to the Big Ten championship game. Which you lose again, although you do play a little bit better than you have against Ohio State, and then all of a sudden you end up in the sixth spot, which ends up being the easiest path to at least a semifinal. So,
because I think they blow out Notre Dame or Georgia.
I'd have to see how Georgia plays with the backup quarterback, but I don't think it's crazy that Penn State is in a national championship game. And then it probably saves James Franklin a lot of headaches for the next 5 years because he gets that pass. Because what's his one knock? It's you can't beat Michigan, can't beat Ohio State. Now it's can't beat Michigan, Ohio State, or Oregon. But if he gets to a college football playoff semifinal or he gets to a national championship game, which I do think is very possible for this team, all of a sudden everyone starts shutting up about it.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Let's get to the other three playoff games that will be going down on New Year's Day. We do that next. But first, Will Ortner, Sports Center Update.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Speaking of college football, bowl games, playoff games, Rashad just said a moment ago that the Boybin Bowl from Waterboy, they need to make that a real game.
They do.
I don't know if you want an alcohol sponsor like a Jack Daniels or a something to sponsor that.
Who would be some type of bourbon?
Bourbon would be like Basil Hayden.
I don't know if they want college teams, like their bowl game. I don't know. Is that a rule? Like,
well, because you can sell alcohol at college games now. So
yeah, I don't know if they want their sponsored like to be a an alcohol sponsor.
So is there no alcohol sponsor for any of the bowl games?
I don't think so. I mean,
there's no. To my knowledge, there's no outright alcohol. Like, you don't have the Coors Light Bowl presented by, you know, Coors Light. Or
you don't even have, like, a bowl game brought to you by...
The Bourbon Bowl by Cajun Grill.
The Bourbon Bowl presented by Blaine's.
Is that the mall food?
Yeah. You know, Cajun Grill and get some bourbon chicken and everything like that? Yeah. The Bourbon Bowl.
Is there one presented by Cajun Grill? Is there one at Clackamas?
There is, low-key.
I need to go there. It's been a while.
I had some blackened fish. And I was like, oh, this is really good.
I can't remember which one it was I used to get at that Cajun Grill, but low-key underrated.
Oh, my gosh, man.
So absolutely underrated, I don't know that I've heard of it.
Oh, man.
Cajun Grill?
Cajun Grill was legit.
You have to remember, too, sometimes the food wrecks don't cross the river.
And he's also...
Fair enough.
He is not of the mall generation.
Fair enough. Oh, and I'll say this.
I love an Orange Julius.
Yeah, man, you really miss the... I mean, there's still mall. You can still go to, like... Mall to, or what was it, Washington Square, or even
I went to the Vancouver Clackamas Mall. That's where I do my Christmas
Mall
shopping, and I went over there and watched Gladiator 2 the other day.
How'd you like it?
I liked it.
I thought it was dope. Yeah,
I thought it was really good. Well, it's Ridley Scott. Like, come on, he's gonna do a good job.
I'm gonna go see Nosferatu tonight.
You're not
familiar with
it? I didn't realize that was a scary movie.
Yeah, it's a vampire movie.
I just know the SpongeBob
making
fun
of it. Is it a remake of?
Yeah, of like the old 1922.
Okay, that's the first vampire movie then. Yes.
Yeah, that was like the very first one. The OG.
That's why when you said it,
movie,
I was like, wait a minute, is that?
Like, what
am
the,
I tripping?
You're like, yeah, you know, I kind of like, I like
front,
to watch the.
With the two front.
Yeah, the real sharp. Yeah, that dude. Apparently, it's really good. It's got Dafoe in it.
Okay, well,
Willem?
Yeah.
I'm a big Willem Dafoe man.
I don't know that I realized that was his name.
Yeah.
William Dafoe?
I didn't know that Willem Dafoe was the Green Goblin guy. Like, I was about to say, I don't know that I could pick him out of a lineup. And then you said Green Goblin. I went, oh, I know exactly who
that is.
I did not know what his name was.
The face looks just like the mask.
I'm going to go watch that at one of those those living room theaters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how I watch Gladiator 2, dude. Get the get a little drink going while you're watching.
My buddy, he wanted to rent out one of those for the Rose Bowl game. And then it's not that expensive. Well, he realized that also he would have to bank on like a certain amount of people saying that they were going to go. And he's like, I can't rely on people to, he's like, there's probably maybe like five people that I know if I threw that invite out to that they'd be like, oh, I will be there for sure. Count me in. And then the other like 10, 15 would be like, yeah, that sounds fun. I'll let you know. And then the day of,
it all
like,
depends on.
Sorry, man, I won't be able to make it.
Especially for you, like you're coming from deep. So like,
I mean, I would commit to that. Yeah, for sure. I'm probably gonna watch it at, I don't know, a bar, the Twilight Room up in North Portland.
So you like it there now, right? There
yeah. Well, yeah, I've only been there once.
That's your spot now, man. Going to the Tea Room. Shout out to North Portland.
You know what's Bush League? My parents have finagled their way not only to the Rose Bowl with tickets.
Oh, wow.
They have finagled their way into the Lululemon tailgate party.
The Lululemon tailgate party.
I don't know how
they... So many stretchy pants
like,
there.
I don't
awesome
know how they... Like, they don't own Lululemon.
It's
I don't
like
know how they
the Catalina wine
got
mixer
it
of the Rose Bowl.
Right, like, they're teachers, so, like, they don't know people in, like, back alleys or something. Like, I don't know what's happening.
No, it's teachers, man. This like, is pretty sketchy stuff going on at school.
Like, now all of a sudden, I'm wondering, like... Do my parents have like some dirt on somebody? How did you get in? And they got relatively cheap tickets. Like it was one of those where it was
somebody
like
somebody owes them a favor.
Somebody knows something that somebody did somewhere
got some
down
incriminating
the line.
Photos.
And they someone's finally called it in.
Someone's parents want their kids to get an A. And they have access to the
Listen,
Lululemon,
how much is this
going
to cost for Jimmy
party
to get to pass his class?
To pass like, kindergarten. Yeah. Like, what's going to happen? Remember, they're elementary teachers. It isn't even like they need to have this A so they can get into Princeton.
Yeah, take
it's
this money
elementary
for supplies.
Haven't you ever heard
whatever
of a permanent record? I remember that used to be a thing back in the 90s and early 2000s on like TV shows. And
is this going to go on my
permanent record?
It's like, it's a permanent record.
That wasn't a thing. Ever.
No.
Oh, it kind of is, though. You know, like, well, but now that stuff follows you, like every referral or everything you've ever gotten, it goes on the little synergy thing. And you can go in and look up your referral from third grade.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
You know who has a permanent record? College coaches. You can't forget what they do.
You cannot.
And this will be, these playoff games will definitely be going on their permanent records.
Some of them are getting expelled after after these, you know, college football. I mean, so I'm not a big fan of Ryan Day.
Oh, no. I envisioned, crying day. I envisioned in my mind a Florida State Oregon-esque Rose Bowl. But with Oregon beating Ohio State in that same light, like a 59-20, I think was the final score.
Blown out type thing.
Will Howard trying to make a pass and fumbling and us housing it. I was trying to envision that in my mind, you know, do the whole the secret storyboard thing, put those things out into the world, and they will come back to you. So I pray that's what happens. I hope it's not close. I hope Oregon just absolutely boat races him. And I'm just going to say it's going to happen.
I am too.
So that way it does.
I am too. I think you have two teams that are kind of on the opposite spectrums of where they were when they met the first time. You know, Oregon is clearly far and away the best team in the country, and everybody can see it, right? It's one of those things. You can look and see that, oh, okay, they're just better than the rest of the field. Ohio State has gotten, I'm not going to say worse, but they're definitely not as good as they were when Oregon played them during the fifth game of the season.
It's just a matter of if Ohio State can play up to their potential, which they definitely did against Tennessee, and they did not do against Michigan. It's like if you get an Ohio State that plays their A-plus game, then
they're hard to beat.
You get what you saw against Tennessee. They are hard to beat. They're one of the best teams in the country. That's why they're second favored to win the national championship. It's just if you're going to get that effort out of them or get that performance, I think you'll get the effort. It's just whether you're going to get the correct scheme. I mean, what you saw against Tennessee is we're throwing it downfield. We're throwing it to our best players. We're making sure Jeremiah Smith gets the ball. We're making sure Emeka Egbuka gets the ball. We're Will Howard. We're airing this thing out. It's just a matter of if Oregon is going to be able to take advantage of the cornerbacks on islands again and somewhat do what Ohio State just did, go deep, go take advantage of those matchups. If Oregon's defense is going to be able to keep Will Howard in check this time, which they weren't able to do in that first matchup, which caught me by surprise, that is... I have no idea what's going to happen in this game. I pray that it's an Oregon blowout. I hope it's they're comfortable the entire time. It's probably not going to happen. But I just like that to me is what you saw against Tennessee is what they're going to be trying to do against Oregon is say, Oregon, we know you're good. You know you have a good pass rush. You know you have good DBs. We don't care. We're still going to attack you. We're still going to go after you.
The key to this game is going to be Oregon's D-line. Like last time Oregon played Ohio State, you didn't have Jordan Birch. Remember, he gets injured on Wednesday. And Ohio State, they were 100% healthy on the offensive line. And when you needed big-time stops, you know who came up with them? It was Mateo Uyunglele. He had that big third-down stop on Judkins that forced an Ohio State punt where Oregon was able to come back down, score, and take the lead in that game. And then when you needed a sack, who got it? Mateo Uyunglele.
Their one and only sack that game.
Right. Now, remember, that was going up against their number one left tackle. They're on their third-string left tackle right now. The guy who was playing left guard for them at the start of the year, he had to bounce outside because in that game, the left tackle, he got hurt. He was an All-American, by the way. So now they're down an All-American left tackle. The best center in the country, Ohio State had him in McLaughlin.
He's out.
He's out. So now you have a second-string center. Then you have to remember, in the Tennessee game, your right guard and your right tackle both got dinged up a little bit. Are they going to play? 100%. They're O-linemen. You play through injuries. You don't really care in that position about a sprained ankle. That being said, you're not as strong as you typically are. All of a sudden, if you have to go against a speed rush, you got to get back faster because you're not able to move as well as you normally would with a sprained ankle. You're not able to sit down on a bull rush as tough as you normally would. Now, Oregon, they're going to be at 100% health. You get Jordan Birch back, and you've let him rest for essentially a month to get ready for this football game. If this Oregon D-line can get pressure on Will Howard, but do it in a contained rush way, and what I mean by that is you have to stay in your gaps. You have to be gap sound. You can't jump inside against Howard because then he'll beat you on the outside with his legs. But if you can get a contained rush on Howard, I think that Oregon wins this game. If that Ohio State offensive line is able to hold up and they're able to stay stout, Oregon might be in some trouble. Will Howard has proven that when he has time in the pocket, he will pick you apart.
Every blade of grass in the field.
And you're not going to stop Smith. You're not going to stop Ibuka. It's like going against LeBron in basketball. If you're defending him, you just want him to be less efficient than normal. You want those two to be less efficient than normal. But to come out and be like, you're going to shut him down, it just isn't going to happen. So you have to get that rush on Howard before he can even get the football to him.
It's like this guy played football or something like that.
Yeah, you know about X's and O's.
I'm a football nerd,
Who the hell's this guy? No, I mean, you're absolutely right, though, is that the one caveat I would say about the Ohio State health is that Ohio State has depth. They have talent.
They recruit well.
It's just like, you know, if this was a Boise State, obviously, like, it's like, they're down to their third string left tackle, essentially, and their backup's in there. And it's like, all right, I like that. That helps a lot. But Ohio State, it's like, all right, next man up, literally.
Five-star, sophomore.
Our four-star, number five ranked tackle in the class for 2023 or whatever. It's
your
like,
third string left tackle was an All-American at guard. So yeah. I get it. You're not wrong.
That is the only part where, and I hear you. It's like getting a rush, having this D-line of Birch, Mateo, of Derek Harmon, making Will Howard uncomfortable, being able to stop the run, because also I feel like their run game has been, I wouldn't say questionable, it just hasn't been as effective, I think, as people thought it was going to be this year.
No, there's no Maurice Clarett, for this Ohio State team right now.
But, I mean, having Judkins, having Henderson, that is a great two-headed monster.
Absolutely.
There. But, again, I think this team wins this game by putting the ball in their playmakers' hands as much as possible on the outside. And this is kind of what we saw last year with Penix in Washington when they were able to beat Oregon. It's like, we're just going to beat you deep. We're just going to pick you apart down the field. We are going to go deep. We're going to throw it to McMillan. We're going to throw it to Polk. We're going to throw it to Dunze and have fun trying to stop us. And that's where I think Ohio State could win this game. But I pray that the defense rushes and we have a Jameis Winston moment in the Rose Bowl where he tries to make a pass that he can't make and he fumbles and Oregon's up by 39 points at the end of this game. For the love of God, please.
That's the hope. I do not think it's going to be a blowout. I do think Ohio State is going to be incredibly competitive. But I just honestly, and I keep saying this, I've never felt so confident in an Oregon team. Like, as much football as I've watched for the University of Oregon, and this is, I remember being in my man Dan's basement, shout out to my guy, and watching the Oregon versus Colorado game in the Fiesta Bowl, I think it was, back in like 2002.
Lanning let you out of his house while he was coaching the game?
I mean, yeah, he's a pretty cool dude. We go way back, you know. But watching that and just even then it was like, okay, Colorado's, you know, really good. Oregon should have played the national championship that year, and they didn't. But ever since then, it's like Oregon's been good, but not great. This is the first year I'm like, no, this team is great, and I think they got everything in place to win a national championship.
All right, let's wrap up the show next with these last two playoff games, give our thoughts on them, and send you off into the rest of your Sunday. Football Sunday, right here, 10 to the Fan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
All right, last two playoff games that we have yet to talk about. We have, like, literally, like, 3 minutes. Talk about him. I feel like this Texas, for the love of God, why am I just blanking on the team here? Texas, Arizona State is similar to the Penn State Boise State game. It's
absolutely
like, hey, contain the best running back in college football, arguably, in Cam Scataboo, one of the most versatile players in college football. Take him away, have Sam Leavitt beat us, and also on the offensive side for Texas, just keep running that rock. Win the line of scrimmage battle. Leave it up to your horses up front. Don't put this in Quinn Ewers' hand. I know he's a good quarterback, but he's not going to be the one that you need to have win this game. Just give it to the Hog Mollies up front and let them just wear down this Arizona State team over four quarters.
I mean, I really like Quinn Ewers. A lot of people aren't as high on him.
He just hasn't played well this back half of the season.
No, he hasn't. But also, it's the only person that was on a number one team at a point that had to share reps with an up-and-coming quarterback. I don't know if there's any other top five team in the country that's asked their star guy, who was on the cover of a college football game for the first time in like 7 years, to share reps with you know, an underclassman, you know, even though you're from the number one team in the country at that point. But I have all the confidence in the world in Texas. You know, I got a lot of respect for Arizona State, especially being former Pac-12 brethren. But kind of like you were saying about the Penn State-Boise State, you know, matchup, I just feel like Arizona State's going to be overwhelmed. You know, they haven't really – the Big 12 isn't as competitive as it once was with the removal of teams like Texas, you know, and everything from the Big Ten, Big 12. But they're going to get a taste of, you know, what the Big 12 used to look like in Texas, and I think Texas is probably going to run all over.
Texas needs to just lean on him. Like, yeah. I like Arizona State. I like what Dillingham's building. I actually really like Sam Levitt. I think he's going to be a star QB.
He's probably the third best quarterback in the playoff.
I would probably put him in the top five. You know, like, I think he has a lot of room to grow, and he's shown a lot of positive signs. Like, there's a reason why he's already on the Heisman watch for next year. But Texas, like, you just have more dudes. Like, no offense to Arizona State, yep. You have more dudes. More. Just lean on them.
Yep, exactly. I think it's just talent gap. And then for Notre Dame, Georgia, which is probably the most enticing matchup of the playoffs, of the quarterfinal round outside of Oregon, Ohio State, just because of these two teams, obviously their prestige. I'm going Notre Dame. What's the quarterback filling in for Carson Beck? Gunnar Stockton.
Stockton, yeah.
Nick Saban was giving him some good reviews, you know, on Pat McAfee. I heard his interview there. And really, they didn't change a whole lot when he did come in for Carson Beck. I just think that this Notre Dame defense, how it's playing, they're going to be able to get to him and have him cause some mistakes for this Georgia offense, which at times can be inconsistent already. And now you're going to be throwing a backup quarterback. Give me Notre Dame. Give me their run off, their run game as well. The Fighting Irish pulled the upset in the quarterfinals.
I like Notre Dame's run game as well. I think they have a defense that's better than a lot of people, you know, give them credit for. I just think there's, Will said it, man, too many dudes on Texas. I think Georgia's right there. There's just too many dudes. So I'm thinking Georgia's going to win this game.
I got Notre Dame, and it's strictly they got a defense, and Georgia is on a backup QB. I also like Riley Leonard in the plus one run game.
Yeah, again, the run game for the Notre Dame, I feel like that's what they're going to have to lean on to get the win against Georgia, keep the offense off the field, and make their defense tired. Well, get ready, boys. We got playoff games in one playoff game in 2 days and three more on Wednesday, and I am nervous as hell.
Don't be nervous. We're good. Quack.
Yes, I hope there's a lot of quacking on Wednesday. Will, appreciate you as always, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate your insight in the game. Rashad, appreciate you as always.
My man, Happy New Year, fellas.
Happy New Year's. Everybody out there, have a great New Year's. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we will catch you next Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.